Well, hey guys.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning. We got the whole, well, not the whole staff team, but we got the
the 75%.
The 75%, yeah.
The 75ers.
Of the office staff, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, it's good to be back with you guys on the podcast. We got Rachel here and Darius, and we wanted to talk today about membership because we started this education hour in September.
Yes.
It's already a blur. Okay.
Yeah.
So we started it in September, and I think it's been going pretty well. I don't know. Feedback's been pretty good. We've had pretty consistent attendance, which has been awesome. And the kids are just a blast. side note, I was leading kids worship on Sunday, and I introduced them to Every Move I Make.
Yes.
With the actions.
Yes.
And so then Dax was doing waves all day yesterday, just like making his hand go up and down like a wave. He just thought it was the coolest thing ever. But so anyway, so our next adult class is going to be Antioch 101, which is also a prerequisite for membership. So if you're listening and are interested in becoming a member of Antioch, come to the Education Hour at 9 a.m. the next two Sundays, and we would love to see you there for that. If you are already a member, we would still love to see you there for that class because it'll be some good, possibly review, maybe things that you forgot you ever knew. And just, it would be great to hear from you guys too of what, why you value membership and maybe what you appreciate about where Antioch is at and our mission and that kind of thing. But I thought today we could just talk about the high level view, especially with you, Darius, of why membership. So I guess maybe I would throw it to you of like, where do you want to start with this question? Like, why are we having Antioch 101?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, membership, I don't know. It was never like, if you think about it, like it was always like, oh, if you look like old, in the olden days, I feel old now, I'm saying olden days.
Do you mean like first century church or like the 90s? Like,
let's go with 90s. We're not going to go that far back. Let's go with 90s. But you know, it wasn't a big deal to make a commitment to the church. And like your family became members of a church and it wasn't this big issue. But I think when you look at today's generation, they are hesitant with committing to things. And so I think it's important to have that conversation because it's in the scriptures for a reason. The Bible talk about it, and is membership within the universal body, but also in the local body is important. And there's benefits to the body for that. And it's also protection for the body for membership. So I think it's an important thing that we need to be discussing and teaching the next generation. Like, why is it an important thing? And why does the scripture talk about it?
Right. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, we actually, when we talk about membership at Antioch, the language that we use oftentimes too, we have people sign a membership covenant. And much to your point of like, in this day and age, like the term of like having a commitment is something that is so difficult for people. And we actually even take it a step further and we call it a covenant. And really we're covenanting to one another and to God in membership. And I know we can get into this in a little bit, but like some of the purposes of why we covenant laid out in our Antioch membership covenant, I think are pretty vital to what it means to be a part of the body of Christ too.
Now let's back up a second. I hope that you two aren't saying like a kids these days sort of a statement of like, kids these days like aren't willing to commit to nothing. Yeah. You know? So like, what do you mean that I kind of know what you mean, but I just let's like articulate it. Like, why do you think people are reticent now versus in the past to lock in with with any sort of community or group?
I think it's potentially the same reason why people are maybe reticent to lock into any set of like one belief system. I think the possibility of other things being available, other things being desirable or true. I think when we commit to something, what our culture says nowadays is committing to one thing means that you are not committing to so many other things. And so that closes you off.
Which is not wrong.
It is true in a sense.
Yeah. Like you're making it in economics terms, like it's an opportunity cost, right? By choosing one thing, you're saying no to something else. And so I think in today's culture, we see this in even relationships and like FOMO, for lack of a better term, right? Like we don't want to, I saw this even when I was church shopping, for lack of a better word too, back in 2017. It's like, well, I think these things kind of check some boxes, but there might be something better out there. And with church membership, it's like, well, you know, I think this is possibly a good thing, but like, is there something else that like maybe is causing me to not want to fully commit to this body? And so that could be something that plays into.
Yeah. And I think commitment today is, they're so easily broken in our culture. And so we take covenants lightly. And
it's socially acceptable.
It's socially acceptable to break commitment. If it's not pleasing to me anymore, I can walk away from it. And that's not like what God calls us to as believers, to like with a covenant with him. Like, it's an enduring promise to one another.
Right.
And so it's something that we don't take, we shouldn't take lightly. And it's a picture like of us leaving our individualism. Like, and we don't like to be controlled. Like, if we're committing to this church, especially membership, we're saying like, you're also committing to these things. And one of the things are, you're committing to someone being the telling you what to do, in a sense. Like, you're submitting your control to a greater body for a greater purpose. And so we like to be masters of our own fate. So it's hard to, you know, fully do that. And I think it's also, but for us, our focus is Jesus. Our focus is being like Christ. And if we're going to mimic him, he made the ultimate commitment by becoming like us. He left comfort to become like us. And so, in a sense, that's what the commitment in the body is. We're leaving our individual comfort for a greater purpose.
To what extent, though? So, like, do I have to ask the elders of the church if I, like, want to buy a new used car? Or
yes, ask me.
Okay, asking. Okay, got it. Or, like you say, like, have control. I don't know. I'm coming from a skeptic's perspective.
Yes, please.
I think right now, I mean, I know of people who would say, and maybe it's true in their specific context, but from what it looks like to me, that they left an evangelical environment and they would say, I left a cult.
Yep.
Now, maybe they did. I don't know the personal story.
Like spiritual oppression over what you're allowed to believe, what you're not allowed to believe, kind of thing.
Right, right. So, like, so where, how do you kind of... We are individuals, you know, we're all made in the image of God. We're all, if you follow Christ, we all have discernment and we have the Spirit. So why would I submit myself to a church community and to an elder leadership if, I mean, you guys aren't Jesus, you're fallible. And I mean, that just sounds like a world of hurt, you know, like, why would I put myself through that?
I think this is actually something that we kind of talked about yesterday in our education hour class, is like,
oh, really?
Actually being like a body of Christ, being a part of a group of people allows for better discernment. And we can get better discernment by obviously tuning into the spiritual giftings of a group of people, not thinking that you individually can understand and fully live out the mission and way of life-changing way of Jesus Christ on your own, but we do that in community. And so there are different giftings within the body of Christ that we see appointed to leaders, like pastors and elders. And there are different giftings that you have as well that others need to see and to be utilized. And so we can better understand scripture together. We can better pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit together and execute that, but also be accountable to one another in how we follow the truth of scripture and being open to learning together. I think there's an understanding of with gospel truth, like holding to scripture first and foremost, and having gospel humility to understand that we want God to change our perspective if we're wrong on it. And that's where the body of Christ can do that.
Yeah, and it's not, I think, that's where it become legalistic and controlling. You're not submitting your life to these group of people. Like, like, you can't tell me what type of car to buy or how many hours I should be with my children or things like this. But it's submission and guidance in life over how are you helping me become more like Christ? And that's in community and without community. So I'm, in a sense, giving you the authority to guide me, to help me become more like Jesus. And so there are, I don't want to give too much away from the class, but there are theological reasons why membership is important within a church. And then there's practical reasons for that as well. Sure. And so I think, and it's not all of your life. Like, it's not submission all of, but the hope is that through these people who are, you have given authority to guide you spiritually, that's impacting your daily life, and causing you to be more like Christ in your daily life. So it's, one should affect the other, but it's not giving them control of your every movement and saying.
So it's surrender and commitment wholeheartedly, 100% to Jesus first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then in the everyday stuff of life, committing and covenanting to a community of people. And in so doing, kind of saying, I'm not going to just pick my favorite bits from all these other communities. Not to say that we can't be ministered to by some writer's books,
yeah.
You know, or something like that, that just because they don't go to Antioch. But so, yeah. So the commitment is first to Christ and then in community.
Yeah, because we all are members of the universal body of Christ as believers.
Mm-hmm.
But becoming members of a local body, what you're doing is you're telling elders or a pastor, like, I'm giving you authority to give me spiritual advice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it might be practical life advice as well. But also, I'm designating myself over this local people to grow and love one another in a local context. And the Bible talks about shepherds or elders shepherding the flock that God has given them. When you look at membership, without some form of membership, how would they know who they're shepherding in this local body? So it's like, I'm committing to this local area. So I know that I'm giving, I'm serving, I'm under the authority of this specific group of people who we are loving and growing together with. Like, this is the covenant I committed to. Like, is why we don't have, most of us now, we don't practice multiple wives. It's hard to commit to a bunch of people. Like, I can barely handle the one. So, don't listen to this, Jennifer. We love you. And so, but it's hard to make, to draw your attention into multiple things. And so, like, when we make a covenant to this body, like, if I'm covenanting to or committing to, like, why should I be a member? If I'm committed to these people, I love these people, I'm doing somewhat life with them, but it'd be weird to have a family member not be full participation. Like, are you truly in the family or are you not? And so it signifies that I'm truly into this family, but what if this other place that I'm somewhat committed to don't practice all the values that I value or this other church value, which do I go with? Like, mm-hmm. And so you're pulling yourself in multiple directions and says, like, no, this is the person or people right. that I'm covenanting to.
Yeah.
And this is our family values. And we're going to live that out as best as we can together.
Right. So if you were talking to somebody who was looking for a church and then wanted to commit to, let's say, didn't have a fear of better options, kind of a FOMO. We were at a conference actually not too long ago where the guy talked about, it's not so much FOMO anymore. That's the culture of the day, but it's FOBO, fear of better options. Mm-hmm, I don't want to commit because of fear of better options. Mm-hmm. But let's say that someone did want to commit. How would you advise them in where to land? Like, what grid or just how do you decide where to commit, knowing that every single one of them are imperfect,
mm-hmm.
run by fallible people? There's a lot of good churches in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just why pick Antioch, but how do you think about where to land? Or maybe, Rachel, you were the most recent joiner of Antioch. Like, how did you guys, what kind of things did you think about as you thought, well, why Antioch over and above others? Or and without obviously naming any other churches.
No, I mean, there are other churches in the Twin Cities areas that are partnering with us on this mission. And so we did visit a number of them. We looked online, listened to podcasts, listened to sermons. of a number of other churches. And I've talked about previously, like, one of the main things we're looking for is obviously an adherence to scripture, first and foremost, and seeing that, hearing that, feeling that within a church body. And to be honest, looking for, while there's a lot of other churches that have an adherence to scripture, I think there's some distinctives that Antioch has that separate it from others within our context. So we've talked about our core values on this podcast before. And so the core values that Antioch has allow us to better say, okay, how are we going to take the gospel truths in scriptures that we adhere to and proclaim them, demonstrate them, live them out within our context in Northeast Minneapolis? Now, we do have people that come from outside Northeast, but how are we together going to accomplish this mission of igniting a movement of the gospel together? To be honest, one of the things that really was a big indicator of holding to the gospel, I know I've talked about it before, is a J count. How much are we talking about Jesus? Because there can be a lot of soapboxes that churches can get on, but a group of people that are committed to what we like to say the life-changing way of Jesus Christ is so important. And so, yeah, there are other great gospel preaching churches that we have in our city that we're thankful to partner for. Even in November, we get the opportunity to partner with River City Church for a Thanksgiving service here at Antioch. And it's great to be able to be reminded that there are believers even on the other side of Northeast, right, that are with us in this. But yet they go to River City for a reason. We go to Antioch for a reason, because mm-hmm. that plays out a little bit differently. Right. There are differences in the people that God has provided to those churches. Are you picking that up?
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Okay. There's differences in people. There's differences in skill sets and giftings. And to be honest, this is why there's a beautiful thing when we see multi-generational and multi-ethnic churches. But there are reasons why, in some cases, there are, you know, there's Korean churches, there's Hispanic mm-hmm. churches, because sometimes within a certain context of you get different language to talk about who Christ is. And it can be a beautiful way to experience Christ through different cultures, through different contexts yep. as well.
Yeah, and that's like a little bit on that, because Antioch was like my second church experience of coming to Christ as a young adult. And so, and the first church that my family attended was a majority African-American culture church. And so committing to come to Antioch, like I lost some things that mm-hmm. I once experienced at their church, like choirs and like yeah. the culture is just different. And so, but for me, I think in the beginning, like, you don't know what you're looking for. It's okay to do a little bit of church shopping, yeah. but I don't think that, like, shopping, I don't go shopping with my wife, because it lasts too long. Like, it shouldn't take 3 hours. Like, at some point, like, cut the church shopping down. It shouldn't take too long. Like, make a list of, like, what you're looking for and what's important for you. And even though I miss some things of that church, like, can I worship on my own and get that experience? Can I get that experience in other ways? I can. But the most important thing that made me feel like Antioch was going to be home for me were like the J count, the gospel preaching. And like that was a more important thing to me. And coming here and being invited and being made feel welcome, like, you know, when something feels right, like follow your heart, like, home is going to feel like home. And so like, and your family makes your home. And so it just felt like family when we came here. Hmm. And so even though there's some things that you may lose that like, oh, I like that on my list, right. but there's greater things that I'm gaining and there's other ways to get those things that I'm missing out on.
Yeah. I mean, for the record, if we ever want to start a choir, I am so on board. I miss it too.
Phil Almaraz.
Now,
he would love to do that.
Phil, yeah, totally. Oh, that's a good call. I mean, my choir growing up was probably real different than your choir growing up. I mean, we stood still. We stood still. and we had music.
we had music.
I don't know. Tell me where I'm off. Where's the lie?
yeah. So, but I just think that there's you have these greater things that you're that you know that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so I think just stay true to those things, and then you'll find a place that fits that need, because there's plenty of them out here.
Yeah. How do you advise people who, you know, maybe are totally on board with the mission and vision, and are on board theologically in the sense of like Jesus is the only way, you know, to the Father, and salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone. But maybe there's some secondary and tertiary theological or practical theology issues that, man, I just wish I would prefer it to be something other than what I see here.
Yeah.
How important for you, or I don't know, you can take it from yourself or as you're advising somebody else, like, how do you decide when to maybe let one of those things go, or to say, no, nope, this secondary thing matters enough that I want to keep looking?
Yeah, I think it's like, again, like, how important is that secondary thing to you?
Sure.
But I think always, like, it's, I think there's always room for you to grow in that area. Like, okay, is there some room for me to grow not having this? Like, is there's something in that I can take away from this season of growing? And maybe the Lord is putting you in that place to help in that area. Maybe the Lord wants you to talk to ministry, and it's putting on your heart to help that church grow in that area. So I think in the case of like, one, is it super important? Can I let it go? Or is there something that the Lord is wanting to teach me that I can grow in that, in the loss of this thing? And then maybe looking into, hey, what can I do to help with that?
Yeah.
Because I think it's easy for us to give up when we don't have those things. Like, we don't, the church is not where we want it to be socially, like with social justice or things like that. And so, and it's hard sometimes for us, but the easy way is to like say, you know what? You're not where I'm at. I'm backing out. Like, I'm done. Like, and, but I think the harder thing sometimes God is telling us to like, no, work through it, push through it, grow together as a family. And maybe it's, maybe I have you here for a reason and for a season to help the church and grow in that. And so I think it's easy for us to give up when we don't see things exactly the way we want them to.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And I think sometimes we can have a false sense of what church unity is and could be, right? I don't think it's everybody having to
agree about everything.
Yeah, agree about everything. I think there's like important gospel doctrines to how we, what, I hate to say knowledge, but like what the core distinctives of our Christian faith are, right? That's why we have a statement of faith with the EFCA. However, there are these, secondary and tertiary like issues or things that maybe we feel strongly about that it's okay if other people maybe don't feel as strongly about. And to your point, we can challenge and encourage one another. But if at the end of the day, we don't 100% see eye to eye, that's being part of a family and being a part of the body of Christ. And we can hopefully in grace love one another and wrestle with these things together. And hopefully both in a humble way, admit that like we're both willing to allow Jesus to move and grow us and change our point of view. And we're going to do that together, do that work together.
So don't do what my children do when they don't agree, is tackle each other. Don't do
exactly.
I mean, they always make up.
They do. It's family.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's family.
Because there's a commitment there to one another of like, regardless, like we're going to make up, we're going to, you know, seek reconciliation together, because that's what we're called to as a family.
Yeah, I think one of the places maybe where the rub sometimes feels insurmountable, I'm not saying it always is, but when something I think is a secondary or tertiary issue for someone else is a primary issue. That's when I think it can be really tough. So now if I were church, if I were searching for a church in a, you know, we moved or whatever, in an alternate universe, as if I was looking for a church, one of the questions, you go through and make your list of what's the most important. You make your list of priorities. And maybe I meet with an elder, or, you know, John and I meet with leaders and say, hey, where are you guys at with evangelism? And if their answer is, well, you know, we don't want to be too pushy with Jesus and like the whole cross thing because it's really off-putting and uncomfortable, that to me would be like they're putting a secondary issue in a place, or putting what I would consider a primary issue mm-hmm. in this place of a secondary issue. And for others, things that I think, no, I think that I chose that because it feels very obvious.
Yeah.
That should be a primary issue as a gospel-believing Christian. But there are things that I see as secondary that I've had lots of conversations with people who feel very strongly that yep. it is not equal with the idea that Jesus is God, but it is way closer to number two, you know, than I see it. And so I empathize with that wrestle.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a good lesson in sometimes dying to self.
Yeah.
You know, not because the church is always right by any stretch.
No.
But for the sake of getting anything done for the community or for the kingdom of God.
Yeah. I think there's a gospel center in all things. Like we don't have to be 100% in agreement. Like it's a first for me, it's a second for you.
Right.
But like, is there a gospel center where we can meet and still put the gospel before our opinions or our feelings about this matter?
Right.
And so I think, it's hard to watch brothers and sisters break up because they can't find that gospel center. And be like, we don't 100% agree, but let's move forward in unity and see what we can do together.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think membership in that way is a great opportunity for maturity and sanctification. Mm-hmm. You know, the three of us being married, I think, can all attest to how sanctifying marriage is in ways that singleness wasn't. Singleness is also incredibly sanctifying.
Yeah.
And then you think, you know, whatever thoughts you had about marriage going in, you find out there's whole different lessons.
There's levels. Spill the onion.
Yeah. There's different challenges and different ways that the Lord uses people who aren't me to sanctify me, you know, whether it's in marriage or in community, in a church. So I loved what you said, Rachel, earlier about we need each other because we have different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons that it struck me is just because it also requires me to recognize that I'm not omniscient or omnipotent or omnipresent or any of the other omnis. That I, not only do I have something to give, but I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And so for someone who does have a passion in an area that's stronger than my passion in that area, I can celebrate that. I shouldn't be threatened or jealous or scared of that or mock it because I don't think it's as important, you know, to be like totally cruel. But that I can celebrate that and be like, oh, I am so glad that you are a thumb because I'm a pinky and I can't
flex that way.
I can't flex that way. Yeah. And not, I can probably learn, but like, I'm never going to be quite as flexible in that way as you are. Mm-hmm. And so I can learn from you. I can support you, you know, and then others can do that for me too.
Yep.
You know, and in doing so, we can hopefully live out like scriptures, like Paul, the example of being the body of Christ.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you.
Yeah, I mean, I to your point of even like different giftings, they have since moved to Boston, but I think of Mike and Rachel Frost, who are members of Antioch, and Rachel Frost specifically had this beautiful way and gifting, I think, from the Lord of connecting with others and very clearly speaking the truth of the gospel to her neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that I like almost envied to a point, right? Of like, I wish that like I just had that gifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that God does not allow the Holy Spirit to fill in the gaps where we don't have things, right?
Right.
He still does that. But just because I have maybe different giftings of like administration, things come pretty easily to me. And I think God can use that for the building up of his church too.
Darius and I are going to be the first to be thankful for that.
And so being able to, see where God is using others, affirm that, encourage that, see where God is using you, and then look for ways in which you can collaborate together and not be like, well, you know what? It seems like Rachel and the Frost and these other people are really good at this. I don't seem to fit into that. And so maybe this isn't the church for me.
Right.
It's understanding that there are a variety of gifts and that God uses every single one.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, man, this has been a really good 30 minutes. I would say there's one other thing coming up when we talk about practical considerations. Mm. You kind of alluded to this, Darius, earlier, but one of the reasons we have a membership covenant is because in our culture, in our day and age, it's not always as obvious as it was in the first century as to who is a committed Christian in this church community and mm-hmm. who isn't, who's maybe just here for the donuts.
Yeah.
Or what have you. You know, where
mostly
whereas,
me for the donuts.
Yeah, whereas like after Christ was crucified and resurrected and ascended into heaven, things were a bit more hostile, so you probably weren't involved unless you were unless you were totally committed. Right now it's very comfortable. We gotta know who's in. And so in and out is a tricky phrasing, but one of the reasons we have covenant membership is also for the practical decisions that we need to make as a mm-hmm. church. And in the coming couple of years, we're going to have some big decisions that need to be made by the congregation. And this is also where I think it goes back to, we're not, what's the phrase we use? Elder-led and congregationally governed. Mm-hmm. Is that the phrase? I always am worried that I'm going to get those words mixed up. So that the elders lead us and guide us and shepherd and say, hey, well, this is where we think we're headed. But it's really comes down to the form of a question, like, do you agree? Yeah. And then the congregation kind of votes on some of these things. Now, for big things, we don't, here at Antioch, our bylaws are such that we don't vote on the color of carpet and, you know, what worship songs or how many to do.
Thank goodness.
I know. But we vote on the hiring of a new lead pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And any major purchases, is that right?
Major purchase over a certain amount, yeah.
Over a certain amount. So, for instance, buildings. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the Lord has in store for the next couple of years, but we do know that we're in the middle of a search process for a lead pastor. And we have a lease that is not eternal here. So we don't know what's next quite yet.
And might actually, be here, might not be. 2.5 weeks, we're going to have a budget vote.
Yes.
The elders and finance team have been using their spiritual giftings in the form of like discernment and administration to put together a budget that they hope will allow our church family to steward financial resources well together. And so that draft budget will come out October 29th. And then as a church on November 12th, we'll have a meeting to talk about it together and vote on it. And to be honest, that's part of an important part of membership.
Yeah, for sure. And everybody's welcome to that meeting, but only members are going to vote.
Yeah.
So those are some pretty, to me, those are some pretty compelling reasons to become a member. Just because if I'm a part of this community, I want to say. I want to say what's going on and what's going on. So this Sunday, 9 a.m. in the meeting room, come join us for part one of Antioch 101. Then we'll do part two next week. Is there anything else you guys want to add?
I would just encourage those listening too, if you are a member and there's somebody in your community group or sphere of influence at Antioch, a friend that you think is maybe questioning like, what is membership? Why even consider it? Or why even think about committing to this group of people? Have an honest talk about what it means to you to be a member. I think it's a beautiful representation of the diversity even within the Trinity that we see to have a body working and learning and growing together on this mission. So have those discussions, invite somebody to come with you to that class. You're totally welcome to come to that and we'd love to see you there.
Amen.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll see you guys next week.
Have a good weekend.
See you guys.